Welcome back to this midweek Well House Exorcism episode. This is your ghost of a host with the most, Shanna.
It's Puckwell PJ.
No, you gotta use your voice.
This week, Puckwell PJ returns.
There it is.
The show that no one voted for.
Yes, they did. Tonight will be episode 2 in our midweek.
Don't lie. No one likes the name.
Mini episodes. Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry, that. Yeah, the name. And I am taking into consideration 3 different people, and I'm calling it Midweek Myths, Lore, and More.
I don't like that. This is a joke, right? I don't like that.
I don't know. We're going to find it. How about Midweek Myths and Lore?
It sounds like you're saying Ms. and Lore.
Ms. and Lore. We'll find it. Ms. Lore and More. I don't know.
Myths.
Myths.
Not Ms.
Myths.
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 There's a TH in there.
I know. Midweek Myths, Lore, and More.
Thank
How's
you.
That? Do you like it now? Is it growing on you?
Not really.
Okay.
I like the other one. The
mini hexes?
No, legends, lore, and more. If we're gonna go with
legends, lore, and more alliteration.
If we're gonna go with the end more thing, then that's what I want. I think that's the best. Penny, feel free to disagree.
No, Penny's the one who said we should go with that one.
I know.
I'm not gonna do midweek monsters.
What?
I'm not gonna do midweek monsters.
Well, I know that. Yeah,
that's fine. All right. So what are we discussing tonight? Well,
I don't know. You didn't tell me.
We're going down the Georgia way.
Oh.
And we're going to stop at the haunted location, the 1790 Hotel.
Hey, I know that place.
Yeah, you do. We have referenced this place many times in the past on this pod, but tonight I'll fill y'all in on the hotel, the lore, not myths or myths, and we'll tell you our ghost experiences there.
And it'll leave you screaming.
Unnecessary. My references this evening include, of course, the 1790 Inn's website. I think it's important to go to the source.
Yep.
Ghost City Tours, nightlyspirits.com, and savannahfirsttimer.com. The writer's name is Erin Clarkson. I do like her story. All right.
I will be using our tour guide as a resource.
Do you remember his or her name?
No.
Okay, good.
She's the best tour guide.
She was
though.
Amazing. Yes. We'll also use our own stories.
Yes.
With the history of so many tragic deaths, Savannah is the perfect location to encounter ghosts and spirits of the souls who weren't ready to leave this mortal world. In fact, if you're looking for a place to encounter paranormal activity, Savannah is the perfect destination for you.
Just ask us.
For example, this city was the center of bitter fighting between the British and future Americans during the Revolutionary War.
Not sour fighting.
And many people lost their lives. Savannah was also the end goal of Sherman's notorious March to the Sea, and many Union and Confederate soldiers lost their lives in those epic battles. Added to this, in 1820, there was a huge yellow fever epidemic and their humongous fire.
Humongous.
That claimed the lives of many. These are just a few of the tragic stories that come from Savannah. Therefore, the whole town is a hotbed for ghosts, spirits, and apparitions. I truly believe it is one of the most haunted locations in America, if not the world.
I agree.
All right.
100%.
Moving on.
All right. Good week. Okay. Good episode,
Close
everyone.
It up. Yep. We're done. All right. When considering a trip to Savannah, look for something paranormal to really enjoy your stay. In fact, the best location may just be Savannah, Georgia's oldest inn, which dates back to the 1790s. Named for the year it was constructed,
what?
The 1790 Inn and Restaurant serves its guests a heaping helping of Southern hospitality in a historic downtown Savannah. It was originally 3 separate residences that burned down in 1820. This was the great fire that burned down more than 450 homes and businesses. It was a devastating event that left many homeless and surrounding states flooding donations in. However, it was rebuilt as one building in 1821. For 2 centuries, the inn and restaurant have offered fine dining and haunted lodgings. With a 14-room main inn, you get not only period-correct furniture, but also some creepy specters.
Yeah. You do.
it be true.
You know what else is horrifying?
What?
The cost of the dinner there.
I know.
And a certain someone's behavior at dinner.
Yours?
Yeah.
You're dropping things? I'm going to talk about that, actually.
Oh, okay.
All right. According to the 1790 website, following the American Revolution and independence from England, the first free election of a mayor, city council, and the formation of a Savannah city government occurred in 1790. Savannah was a small village with a few hundred frame buildings, sandy streets, horses, and wagons, and a simple yet prosperous life. Celebrating that heritage, the 1790 Restaurant and Inn is one of Savannah's oldest restaurants and inns, offering fine dining and comfortable lodging. The ground level, with its slate floor and soft brick walls, are thought to date from the previous structure, possibly destroyed in Great Savannah Fire of 1820. So when you dropped your fork loudly...
onto the slate floor.
Loudly clattered it onto the floor, you were dropping it onto the original floor that stayed even after the Great Fire in 1820.
Yep.
Who would have known you would have spilled something on literal history?
Well, you know.
It's amazing.
I left my mark.
On the tablecloth, too. Wasn't that the lobster bisque?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Red sauce all over the place.
That's right. All right. Original wood shingles are visible in the attic, and wooden pegs and wedges holding beams in place, and they can be found throughout the building. But the best part of 1790 is the long tradition for fine dining and tasty drinks. Fresh seafood, carefully prepared steaks, lamb and chicken, and southern vegetables combined with fine wines and carefully mixed cocktails to make a delightful dining experience. So delightful or not, in terms of food, is definitely haunted.
Mm-hmm.
There are not many times I'm like, it's haunted, the end, we need it. But in this case, yes, definitely haunted.
Can we just talk about the horrifying prices for a moment, though?
Yes, you can.
Because we go and we look at the menu. Like, this is awesome. Like, $8 for a burger and fries. Fantastic.
Lunch menu is nice and cheap.
And then we show up an hour late, and the menu has changed.
Very different.
There are no more $8 burgers.
No burgers.
The cheapest thing was, like, $25.
$26. Yeah.
How do you remember this? It was 2008.
Because my brain. Because I felt so bad. We told Lauren Ray to come to it, and we're like, yeah, they have cheap burgers. Oh, kidding. Let's get the $26 meal because it's cheap.
And we're in like t-shirt and jeans. Yeah. And everyone else is all fancy and there's someone playing the piano. And
we were underdressed. Oh my. But it was delicious.
Yes.
It was worth the price tag, even if we were on a budget. All right, so Aaron Clarkson stated, "Can you imagine my surprise the first time I strolled past 1790 Inn and Restaurant in Savannah and noticed a shadowy figure of a lady peering down at me from a window above the hotel's entrance?"
That's the mannequin.
"I was an impressionable youngster at the time and was taking part in one of the popular ghost tours in Savannah when I spotted her.
Uh-huh.
I instantly froze in place. My family probably wondered what the heck was wrong with me. And at that exact moment, I knew it must be one of the most haunted hotels in Savannah. As it turns out, the shadowy figure was just a mannequin that had been placed in the window by cheeky hotel staff to draw attention to the inn's haunted reputation, but it sure left a lasting impression in my mind."
Yep.
And I remember the mannequin. That thing was creepy.
looks like the girl from The Ring.
Yes, and it's still there.
White dress, black hair.
Yep, I did not like it. We saw it as part of the ghost tour. Of course, we also stayed at the hotel.
Yeah.
And people were taking pictures of it, which is like, oh.
Yeah, we were like down the hall from it.
Yep. But the people who were taking pictures on the ghost tour actually saw things even from the street. Like, they were taking game pictures of orbs. Remember that?
Yeah.
So this place is definitely haunted. Now, before I go into the ghosts, what would you like to talk about with the tour?
Well, so we had only stayed there for one night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a night, I'm sure you'll talk about, so I'm going to skip over that part for now. But then the next night, so like we stayed there for a night, and then we went to Tybee Island for the next two nights.
We wanted the hotel, the creepy.
Yeah, we wanted the experience and all that. No, we didn't even know it was haunted.
We did.
Okay.
Oh, we
so
did.
We didn't know, okay, so we didn't know the big reveal, though, when we went on the ghost tour the next night.
Yeah.
And the tour guide, when we stopped, we were surprised that we stopped outside 1790 because everything's freaking haunted in Savannah.
Yeah.
So we didn't expect the tour to come by 1790. And then we were very surprised when she said, it's probably the most haunted building in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh, that explains some of the things that happened last night.
We
then
got some stories for you. Oh, yeah. It was a good tour, though. I liked her a lot.
Yeah. She also talked about how she didn't know why she lived there and was confused as to why she still lived there, because 98 degrees, 98% humidity. Why would anyone do that to themselves?
And I walk this tour every night.
We were there in May, and it was my first experience with dry heat, and that was the greatest thing ever.
Yes.
I love dry heat.
And we were told, you got here right at the right time, because after this, it's terrible. Yep, you betcha. We know. But in any case, so 1790 is in fact haunted. And so I have a whole list of all the ghosts. The major one that they talk about on the trip, the tour, I should say, along with the lesser ones. But in general, the major room that is haunted is supposed to be room 204.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So for that room, that's supposedly where this one person fell to her death, which mm-hmm. we'll get into. And that's why I chose to stay in room 102, because it was exactly half of that number. Yep. And I figured it's inside. There's no window, so we can't possibly jump out and hurt ourselves. and we won't be attacked or hurt or talked to by some random ghosts. Boy, was I wrong. So we'll tell our stories after this. But yeah. First off, the reason they have a mannequin in the window is in reference to their major ghost named Anne or Anna, depending on who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Her diminutive name would have been Anna, but Anne was her real name. So according to the lore, because there are multiple stories about this chick, she was a beautiful Irish mail order bride. She had gorgeous flowing black hair. One thing that everyone notes, remembers about her in all their stories, gorgeous long black Irish hair.
Mm-hmm.
However, her life was cut very short by a seeming suicide. There are several versions about the circumstances leading up to this unfortunate young woman's suicide, though. One story reports that a 16-year-old Anne Powell was unhappily married to an Englishman who, despite his faults as a husband, did build the large home for her. But she fell in love with a German soldier who used her but didn't love her. As she saw his ship leave, she threw herself down on the brick courtyard below. Which that is proved incorrect, because Anne Powell lived for a very, very long time.
Okay.
Moving on. Another version of the story claims that Anne was an indentured servant forced to marry Steele White, a jealous husband who threw her off the second floor. This isn't true, because Steele White didn't even live to see his building finished. However, this is the story that the 1790 website sort of references when they say that Anne may have been pushed from the window by her angry husband because he had paid for her passage to Savannah to marry her. Another story, the home was at this time a boarding house. Anne Powell, a young, naive 16-year-old maid, fell in love with a sailor/merchant marine, and she became pregnant by him. Instead of marrying her right away, he promised to return after a voyage in a few months and marry her then. Months passed, and the sailor was no-show. Anne eventually found out that he never intended to come back because he was already married. Which is why she commits suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Anne Powell lived to a very old age, so no. Another variation of the story is when she wasn't working as a servant and was a flirtatious beauty, a bit of a tart, and a party animal who liked to have relationships with young men, perhaps hoping to marry up and out of her social status. She went to bed with a young sailor, fell in love with the lad, who had just been in it for a good time. When she turned up pregnant, he didn't marry her right away, but promised to return after the next voyage in a few months. A few months later, he was no show, and he had no intention of coming back. However it happened, Anne had gambled, hoping for love, and had lost. Desperate, pregnant, and heartbroken, she threw herself onto the bricks below. We may never know exactly how Anne died or why she decided to stay in room 204, but there are many accounts of her presence. The owners of the inn used to make guests who wanted to stay in this room sign a waiver saying that they would not be entitled to their money if they left in the middle of the night if they were frightened. So if you back out, you don't get your money.
Yeah.
Sucks for you.
Yeah, there are some crazy stories that we heard.
Yeah, because I remember like when we went, they had that waiver. We just didn't stay in that room, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
However, the room is now very popular with ghost seekers and curious folks who know what they are getting into when they check in. The room has a paranormal log one can use to record experiences. For example, Anne has been seen sitting in the chair by the room's fireplace, and an unseen female presence is often sensed there. Some guests have reported feeling Anna's presence as she leans over them and strokes their cheeks. Electrical gadgets, lights, and new tech items like cameras are irresistible to Anne. She likes to turn on the lights and or the clock radio in the early morning hours. She also likes to yank the covers off of couples and has been known to throw their covers up in the air in the spirit of fun. And I do want to note, while there is a paranormal log for 204, there is a log for all the rooms. And we wrote our experiences.
Did we? I
don't
remember that.
I did. I remember. We did it for room 102. Anne has been known to lay out guests' clothes neatly on the bed. Some women have come back to the room to find their evening and bedtime clothes taken from their suitcases and laid out politely and readily on the bed. She has a weakness for nice undergarments, but usually gives back the ones she doesn't like, eventually.
Yeah, I love that somewhere in the house there's a cache.
There's a cache of underwear.
Yeah, yeah, and no one knows where it is. They've never found it.
Nope. Two women staying in this room found that their undergarments were missing from their suitcases. They found them later draped on branches on the inn's Christmas tree in the tavern. That must have happened after our stay because we did not get told that story. But could you imagine, like, your panties just hanging on a Christmas tree? Happy Christmas! All right. If the living leave jewelry, personal items, and keys on the fireplace mantle, Anne will take them and put them in strange places. She does not like stuff on her mantle.
Yeah, we're used to that. That happens to us all the time in this house.
Yeah, but especially the mantle. You do not put stuff on her fireplace mantle.
You're going to put everything there.
Anyway.
Because we're totally going back.
Oh, I would love to. Her spirit is as emotional as when she was alive. If the living are kind and she likes them, she will not bother them during the night too much. Which I assume means she hates us? No. No, there's a reason.
She didn't bother us much.
You.
I was fine.
Yeah, you were fine. A young honeymooning
couple. And comparatively, she didn't bother you that much. Compared to some of the people that she's, you know, the things she's done to them.
Thanks for your support, honey.
I mean, the bed didn't break.
You weren't floating in the air. Anyway.
Are you going to tell that story?
A young honeymooning couple awoke one early morning to find water drops falling from the ceiling. The spirit of Anne was still crying about her lost love and the rejection she felt. There was no other reason for the water because there was no marks on the ceiling. It was literally just dripping out of thin air.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The spirit of Anne once took a strong dislike to a paranormal investigator who brought his equipment into her room and tried to get evidence of her existence. She took his car keys and placed them on a headstone, on the very back row of headstones, in the Bonaventure Cemetery. Yeah, he did not forget them. They just showed up there.
Wow.
I like her a lot. According to a ghost tour guide and James Caskey, the spirit of Anne took a strong dislike to a young male waiter, his name was Sean, whose job it was to collect the B&B meal cards from the doorknobs of all the rooms. One day, as he went around collecting the cards on the first, starting with those on the first floor, I should say, he felt a strange coldness and the uncomfortable feeling that he was being watched. The intensity grew, and by the time he reached the third floor, it reached a peak when he felt the strange sensation of being picked up off the floor of the hallway about 6 inches. He promptly rushed down to the stairways to escape. When the Travel Channel wanted to interview him in room 204, Sean found that an invisible barrier was physically stopping him from entering. So she does not like Sean. Now, I'm not sure if this is like legit or if she like staged this, but pop star Miley Cyrus actually stayed famously in this room.
Okay.
In 204. She stayed with her mother, and she was there because they're filming a movie in Tybee Island for one of her movies. You know, okay. Tybee Island's just gorgeous. But if you go on her Twitter account, at Miley Cyrus, she included a photograph with a caption stating, quote, "Look what Anna did, ghost in room 204. My boots are put up on top of my suitcase and left with a handprint while I was out."
Oh, wow.
And considering she does put things and she packs suitcases for people she doesn't like, it's like, what does that say about you, Miley?
Time to go now.
She also misspelled Anna. She put A-N-A. So listen, I'd pack her boots and be like, oh. I'm going to get shoe.
Yeah.
So, whether she simply makes the lights flicker, unlocks the door, or even something more drastic, Anna's spirit is frequently felt by even non-believers. And she doesn't just stick to room 204, as we found out.
Uh-huh.
And so I am going to pause from the other ghosts and tell our story, because it mostly affects me.
Okay. Shall we go back to our first day?
Yes.
Where...
So you can paint that picture for us.
During our walk around town, not far... I can't find it on Google Maps now. Like, I've tried...
It was a hole in the wall.
I tried years ago. I've tried a couple times to find it again, but there's this little, like, creepy little store, you know? Like
a little witchy place.
Yeah, and it was called the Witches something or something, yeah. Which, you know, something about witch, you know, cauldron maybe was mm-hmm. in the title. I don't remember. But in there they had some, like, you know, they had, like, rabbit's feet and they had... You know, this, that, and the other thing. Little knickknacks.
Well, and that comes from the Garden of Good and Evil, because of the whole voodoo culture kind of stuff, too. So you see a lot of witchcraft stuff popping up because they used, well, Savannah's mm-hmm. the place of the story. So.
Yeah, exactly. They had dowsing rods mm-hmm. there. And I was like, oh, I know about dowsing rods. My grandmother used them to find the well up at my, up at their property.
So they can't be bad.
Yeah, it's a famous story in the family that she used a dowsing stick. She mm-hmm. had a I think it's yew is the type of branch, and she grabbed the branch and she just walked around in the middle of a field until the branch like goes and like dropped into the ground, mm-hmm. and she's like, dig here
and keep digging.
Yeah, and they hit water and she goes deeper. And they hit water again, then she's like, deeper. And they hit water a third time, and that's where they decide
an artesian well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. to hit the well.
So we buy dowsing
rods. So we buy some dowsing rods, and we go to a little hole-in-the-wall restaurant, and we're just messing around with them. We give them to Laura, and we have a picture of it somewhere. I could probably find it again. Mm-hmm. Of, you know, we're like, she's holding the rods. And to explain dowsing rods to people, it's picture two very skinny, hollow cylinders that you hold onto as handles. And then there are the... something that goes into the cylinder is
it's
like
a bent rod, a 90-degree angle.
Yeah, it's an L-shaped rod that...
And they're copper.
Yeah, and they're all copper, and it sticks into the cylinder so it can rotate freely.
Yeah, so that way it's proof that you're not moving the dowsing rod, it's moving by itself.
Yeah. And so we're like, oh, point to the water pitcher, and then, you know, they swing to the right and point to the pitcher, and then we're like, okay, point to Shanna's Ray, necklace. Whatever, yeah. Point to Ray, and they point to Ray, and point to Shanna's necklace, and they point over, you know, to Shanna, and then...
So we're all like, ooh, this is fun.
Yeah, and then we're like, okay, how about something you can't see? So behind Laura and off to the side, outside, like, you know, we're sitting at a window booth. Through the window, I can see stop sign. So I say, point to the stop sign. And the...
It almost whacks her in the face.
Yeah, they almost whack her in the face, and they point, like, at her shoulder, but, you know, if you have drawn the line through her shoulder, it would have gone to the stop sign. Mm-hmm. And she turns and looks, and sure enough, there's the stop sign that they're pointing to. And at that moment, the waitress shows up, and she's like, what's that? And we're like, point to the waitress, and they turn, and she's like, oh my god! So...
We take him back to our hotel room.
Uh-huh. And we're...
We had gone shopping, okay?
Yeah.
So we have different bags, and I bought, like, cutesy little, like, fish things to put on your car keys. There's, like, little key ring thing.
But they're wiggly fish. Oh, I forgot about the fish.
Well, that's part of the story. So Lori's using the dowsing rods, and she says, point to the chair, and it does. Point to the lamp, it does. Point mm-hmm. to the bathroom. And then she says...
Point to anyone in this room we can't see, right? Something like that. And then they point to the chair. There's a chair in the corner, and they point to it.
I did not like that.
No.
And so we asked a different question, and, like, you know, points to the bed or whatever. And we say, no, really, point to the... If there's a ghost in the room, point to the ghost, and it goes back to the chair. And we're like, no!
And you can also ask them yes or no questions, mm-hmm. and yes is if... they will cross each other and make an X if it's yes, or they'll stay pointing forward if it's no.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think someone asked it, you know, is there someone else in this room? And they crossed... And we're like, it's time to go now.
Yeah.
We're going to take a walk.
But during that whole time, I'm looking for this stinking fish keychain because I bought one for Laura, one for me. And I couldn't find them. And I was like, I know that I bought them. They're really, like, they were not that expensive, but, like, they were important for me.
Yeah.
They were missing. And so I said, Laura, and she had seen me, you guys had all seen me go through. We had these paper bags. I had gone through and I'd emptied it 3 times. They were not in the freaking bag. Like, literally, I took it upside and I shook it. Like, there were no, it was not in there. And so I said, Laura, I can't find the fish car or keychains. And so she asked the dowsing rods, can you point to the fish keychains? And it points to the bag. And I said, I've gone through it three times. They're not in here. What we open the bag and they're just there.
Yeah.
So proof that, like, you know, Anna must have grabbed them because she takes off with things and brings them back. Because literally everyone saw me take everything out of the bag because there wasn't a lot of... Yeah. It would be easy to see these fish things.
Yeah.
So that happens. And we had to gather for a little bit. And we took pictures then of the chair. Later when we got enveloped, there were orbs there. Remember that? Yeah. So we had orbs on that chair. And that was all she did for the dowsing rods because we were just done then. We're like, yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We come back ready to go to bed and I hear a noise, like a...
Yeah, like a...
Yeah. And I said to Peter, I'm like, what the heck is that? And it stops. And he goes, what? I'm like, it's like a mouse is like chewing on something. Do you not hear it? No. And then I hear it again. And I said, no, really, what is that stupid sound? And he's just like, I don't hear anything. I'm like, oh my gosh, it needs to stop. I want to go to sleep. It's so obnoxious. It was just enough noise that I could not fall asleep. And so then we're laying in bed and I feel the blankets moving at the bottom where my feet are. And I said, PJ, are you moving your foot? Like, it's not funny. Knock it off. And you're like, what, asleep at this point?
No, I was awake, but I couldn't feel anything.
And he's like, nothing moved. And I'm like, no, the blanket just moved. And the blanket flips up a little bit. So it's obvious it moves. And I'm like, I don't like this because something just moved the blanket. And then it scratched my foot. And yeah. I was like, I really don't like this. Okay. And I forget what we said, or maybe we just prayed the Hail Mary, but like after that, like it got better and we were okay. The next morning we get in the car and I'm putting on my flip-flops and I realize that the Nike signs on my flip-flops, and they're brand new flip-flops.
Brand new.
The Nike signs are gone. So something had industriously scratched off the Nike sign on my one flip-flop because the other one, the Nike sign was still there. And so I was like, well, now it doesn't match this flip-flop. I might as well scratch this Nike sign off. And I could not scratch it off. So it was proof that like I didn't wear it down from walking because I couldn't scratch the stinking thing off.
Yeah. So, and it was only a couple days old because you bought it right before the trip.
I bought it for the trip. Yeah. And I didn't wear them until we got down there because it was cold until we got to Georgia because it's May, you know, early May in Pennsylvania. So it can be hot or cold. So that was, I think, our experiences. I don't think we really think of anything else, right? That was pretty much it. We didn't have any coffee made for us.
No, that was nothing one, like that.
In the book that we had, the
there was the ice machine right outside the door. Oh. And you're just like, what was that?
And it's that one, the I was ice just machine. Like, I was like, we need to leave yesterday. But in the book they have there to, like, you know, to tell your stories, the paranormal log, someone had said that the ghost had made them coffee, which is very nice. Yeah. Another person was annoyed because in the bathroom, it was a fancy bathroom to the point where you didn't have, like, spit cups. You had, like, crystal for your spit cups.
Yeah.
It was filled with water. They woke up in the morning and all the cups were filled with water. So even in room 102, things were happening. Yeah. Did not appreciate it.
But there was one couple that we learned from the tour where the bed lifted off the ground and dropped so hard that the legs broke off of the frame. Mm-hmm. And they had to have their luggage mailed home to them.
Yep, they just left.
Yeah, they're out.
Like, nope. So, yeah, that was fun. Anyway, there are three other ghosts that reside in this place. One is just the Merchant Marine. Nobody knows his name. He seems to be relaxed. He enjoys music and he's very helpful to the staff, unlike Anne, who, like, you know, lifts Sean. His apparition is dressed in his uniform and he's been seen listening to the piano player and he's been seen strolling through the garden room. He once helped a staff member who was closing the basement restaurant for the evening by turning off the light, which the staff member couldn't reach without a chair. So... thanks, Merchant Marine. There's also supposed to be a little boy named Thaddeus. He's sometimes seen on the ground floor of the restaurant and tavern. He leaves shiny pennies lying on the tables, on the bar, and behind the desk. Pennies just show up. Yep. He is also a friendly spirit, and he sometimes kind of like people experience a warm presence when he's around, or they feel happy. They might hear some laughter, but he's just a nice little boy who gives you shiny pennies. But then... there is the person who inhabits the kitchen. Okay, the most common theory is it was a slave slash cook who also practiced voodoo. So put it all together, pretty much.
Wow.
But this person resides in the kitchen area. So this female entity is thought to be an African-American servant who was heavily into voodoo. She was in charge of the kitchen and probably took pride in her culinary skills. Regardless, one thing is known. She hates women. This entity pushes women who work in her kitchen in the back, and she jangles her bracelets at them. She will also slap or flick at women as well. She even plays mean tricks on the female staff. She has also scared waitresses by pushing silverware from the table settings. Also, she likes to rattle pots and pans to let the staff know she's there.
I just want my fork.
Pots have been known to take off by themselves, off the hooks, just so you know she's there. She also has her sad moments. A maintenance man was doing some work when he heard a woman sobbing in the kitchen. He went into the kitchen to investigate, armed with a knife, only to find that no one was there. No one living, anyway. Yeah. The staff believes that this ghost must be a ghost of a servant who used to serve the family, who lived in the house. Does her power, her belief in the power of voodoo help fuel her hauntings? Because we also see some hauntings at the bar, not just the kitchen area.
At the bar.
The bar. It's certainly possible, but she would be the most scary of the,
yeah, right?
The entities. Although Anna levitating an entire bed, you know, that's pretty scary. Yeah.
Also, there's the other thing in Anna's room that I just remembered about, mm-hmm. was that they can't have a phone in the room.
No, they cannot. They cannot have a phone. Whew, at all.
Yeah. If there's a phone in the room, it will ring. And when they pick it up, there's either crying or just breathing on the other side. Even if the phone's not plugged in, it'll still ring.
Yep.
So they can not have a phone in the room.
They even tried having one out in the hallway and it would still ring and they'd hear sobbing. Yeah. So you just don't get a phone in that room.
No.
So I'm not sure if that's changed since when we were there, but
I'm sure it hasn't.
No, we cannot have a phone in there.
Yeah.
You want to sleep? You get a radio. She's going to turn it on anyway, but don't let her cry. But anyway, I did find some side comments that weren't just about room 204. So this is from a person named Eric. He stayed in room 302. And so he says, room 302 definitely has a spirit in it. I saw a gray, fuzzy-looking orb about the size of a golf ball. It was plain as day at 5 a.m. It was floating above our bed and slowly floated up to the corner of the room. As it did so, it got smaller and smaller until it just vanished. So not scary, but interesting.
Yeah.
Next one is Terry Romeo. I love his last name.
That's awesome.
I stayed there in 2006. We stayed in a center room with no windows. It sounds like he stayed in our room. It's like a center room with no windows. That's why I chose it. And he said, I did not believe in ghosts before this. We found a wet penny on the dry bathroom sink after breakfast. The lights flickered in the room. There was an odd smell, always, and the room was cold, even though it was 76 degrees in there. I took a photo of the room. When I looked at the processed images, there was a human shape hanging in the air above a light. My opinion, the hotel is definitely haunted.
Yep.
And if you go online, you can find lots of pictures. There's videos. I mean, there is so much documented evidence of things that have happened that not even a question. I'm not going to try and debunk it. This place is haunted.
Yeah.
Like haunted, haunted. But yeah, so lots of crazy stories. If you're really interested, look into it, people. Like it. If you're looking for a place to stay, stay there for even just one night. It is kind of pricey, but we did it and we were college kids on a really fixed budget. Yeah. It was worth it.
Yeah.
Go for lunch, not for dinner.
I mean, the dinner was good.
It was, even with the clatter. Clang. But definitely an interesting experience. Did not have my alarm go off. The phone didn't ring. But I lost a Nike symbol on a brand new pair of flip-flops. Got scratched on the foot. Because it was enough that I jumped. It was like a cat scratched me.
Yeah.
Anyway, highly suggest it. Go to Tybee Island. Check out the river.
Oh,
go,
there's like murder mystery cruise.
Yes, go on that. I was just going to say go on that and go on a ghost tour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All of it. Super suggested.
Find Forrest Gump's bench.
Yep. That iconic scene was filmed in Savannah. But I think the bench actually has been moved now because people kept trying to steal it. So I feel like they actually have to... had to replace it, and there's like a fake one there now.
Do not go to Paula Deen's restaurant.
Not worth it.
Super overrated. It was
when she was young, when she was small, when I was in school, like circa 2003, I think I went down to Savannah the first time. I went down with Girl Scouts because that's where Juliet Gordon Lowe, the Girl Scout house, is there, the originator of Girl Scouts. And so we went to Paula Deen's restaurant back when it was owned by her and her sons, and it was literally a hole in the wall. Like it was a part of like row houses. Was the best food. It was super cheap, really nice. And then when we went to find her later, it was building, and there was a line.
Yeah, it was like an hour wait, so we just kind of walked around for an hour. And then when we finally got our food...
It was fine.
It was like a $10 sourdough sandwich, you know, like it was any,
it was like going to Denny's.
It was something you can get at any deli.
Yeah, it was fine.
There was nothing special about
Sorry, Paula Deen.
Yeah.
I liked it better when you were, before you were big.
A sandwich is a sandwich. Like it wasn't anything special.
We could talk about that all night though.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be half an hour, PJ. All right. Well, in any case, any questions, want to hear more of our stories, please message us, text us, email us. You know it. But as always,
think spooky thoughts.